scriptures tonight are from Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, Exodus 3, verses 1 to 10, and Hebrews 11, verses 8, 11, and 12. Starting in Genesis 12. The call of Abram. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Exodus 3, starting at verse 1. Moses and the Burning Bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see what this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." Then the Lord saw that he had gone over to look. God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites," and all those otherites. "And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he had been called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Verse 11. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore.
All right. First of all, I want to thank you for the team, the leadership team, to trust me to bring this word for you guys tonight. And I believe that God is the one who put this word in my heart to share with you. So before we go there, my story with Cowboy Trail Church started back in 2008 when I first moved to Cochrane from Toronto, right? Moved to Cochrane to study at the seminary there. And God gave me an opportunity to, you know, work with you guys here. And you guys are such a blessing for me to help with my seminary expenses back then, you know? Like, it's hard to believe that 10 years ago, or almost 11 now, I graduated. So, back in 2013. And after that, our partnership continues. And here and there, you see me here as a backup for Cameron there, right, in the soundboard, as he is busy with the harvest. So again, thank you. This is a church that I love. You know, I appreciate all you guys, and even those that I didn't have the pleasure to meet yet, looking for an opportunity, right, for us to meet and know a little bit more about each other. So tonight, we'll be reflecting these two Bible characters, Abraham and Moses. And you may be thinking, how in the world this guy will be talking about these two men in about 25 minutes? You know, basically, I want to encourage you to read their stories because we just touched the surface here. But I believe that what we'll bring for you here tonight, again, is something that I want God to encourage you, you know, with the message that He has for you personally tonight, as a church, sorry. For your, the personal one will be next week, okay? So, let's go then. The Bible, as you know, is filled with inspiring stories of ordinary people who faced extraordinary circumstances. These Bible characters stepped out of their comfort zone and embraced change, leading to personal growth and transformative experiences, not only for them, but for the people they were leading. Some of these stories serve as a reminder for us that stepping out of our comfort zone can lead to our personal development and an incredible spiritual journey. So, as you hear from the Bible text there, Abraham is our first character. He was known as the father of faith. He is one of the most well-known Bible characters who stepped out of his comfort zone to serve God. But was it always like that? As we saw from verses 1 to 3 from chapter 12 there, right following that verse, verse 4, following those verses in verse 4, the Bible tells us, "So Abram departed as the Lord has spoken to him," immediately. Right? "And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." As humans, we want to understand and rationalize our actions and thoughts and do things that make sense for us. So, who is here is 75 years old or over? We have quite a bit, right? So, as you probably agree with me, age brings us a lot of limitations. So, I'm quite young yet. You know, I just turned 50 on November this past year. And I have not been to the doctor as many times as after. You know, like before 50, oh, I already beat that record there, visiting the doctors. So, and we think that perhaps in this case of Abram, we may ask, well, were the years measured differently then in his time? Because that would make sense to us, you know, like maybe 6 months would be a whole year. And we go, oh, he was about 35, 36 then, that would make sense. So we go with that. No, but that's not the case, right? So because it does not make sense to us that God would use someone as old as he was. Or perhaps that he could use someone, you know, as older as you guys are or we are today here. So, again, Abraham was 75. So God called him just to leave his homeland, everything that he knew, to go to a foreign land that God would show him. God have not even told him where he was going. You know, just ask him to obey. Despite not knowing that, Abram displayed what we see now as an immense faith in God and embarked on the journey. As Abram at this time still, and Sarah wanted to give God a hand. You know that attitude. Their attitude was that they needed to help God to get this done and give Abraham a son. So the Bible tells us that Sarah offered one of her servants to lay down with her husband. The result? That servant got pregnant and had a son. So, mission accomplished. You're welcome, God. You know, we helped God, right? To get that promised son because we couldn't do it on our own. The problem was that child was not the son that God had promised them. That was not what God has asked them to do, right? Father of a nation. Forwarding to chapter 18 of Genesis, we see that Abraham now, to make things a little bit more difficult, he was 99 years old, so almost 25 years, a quarter century later, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. So what did not make sense to us then, you know, now it just blows our mind, right? Basically, everything pointed to a failure. In the eyes of men, in the eyes of humans like us today, that was impossible. And if we did not know the end of that story, how would we respond to it? Impossible, right? Yes, that's right. That was an impossible situation. Could God have done it differently? Absolutely. He is God. Any other way, any other human way of doing it that would make sense for us would take the glory away from who? From God. So, and God wants all the glory to Him. That's why what does not make sense to us for sure makes sense to our Father in heaven. Let's move forward. The second character that we read about is Moses. He is another prominent Bible character who was called by God to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, as we read there. But you know, if you think about the experience that he has had there with God, seeing the burning bush that wouldn't burn, we would say, wow, this man will be on fire, right? He'll leave this place and do whatever God wants him to do. So, if you read chapter verse 11, following that text, right after that experience, what Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And following up on chapter 4, verse 10, he comes up with another excuse. He said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. So, see, these were excuses, not humility. Okay? There's a difference there. We see that there's always someone better than us for the task, in a better position than us to do the job. And we also could be arrogant, right? The way that we answer the call. Now that I surrender my life to God, just imagine how much He can do with me on His side. What a mistake. Lucky God, because I will help Him. You guys know better, right? So, verse 11, chapter 4. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, and the seeing? Or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall say. How powerful is that? He had no more excuses, right? So initially he resisted the call, feeling inadequate and unqualified for the task. However, God assured him of His presence and equipped him with the necessary tools he needed to confront the Pharaoh and lead the Israelites to freedom. So, We have heard these stories so many times, amazing messages brought out of these characters. The difference is that for us today, we know the end of the story. We read it in the Bible and we know, but they did not know the end. So, as we know the end of their story, what would we say to them? So we are watching and we would say, yes, go, have faith. Everything will work out in a marvelous way. Just believe, God is with you. He will do the work. There's a bigger perspective when we know the end. But that was then. But how about now? I am not going to build a nation like Abraham did, or to bring a nation free from the captivity like Moses did. What does that have to do with me? What those stories have to do with me today here at Cowboy Trail Church in 2024? So, God has called you and me to expand His kingdom on earth. Every Christian have a task to do. In a lot of circumstances, to do that, God asks to do the task that God asks us to do, we need to leave our comfort zone. You know, that place where we feel good and comfortable, where everything is good around us, family is doing well, we have no debts, we can still travel and enjoy a peaceful life. You know, whatever I need for food, I get it. I don't have those kinds of challenges. Life is good, right? We all have excuses, like Abraham and Moses did. So Abraham was thinking, a father? An old man like me? God, you must have gotten the wrong guy, right? A leader? Moses would ask God. A guy who can barely speak? God, you must have gotten the wrong guy. When we hear something from God, our tendency is to immediately bring up some excuses. Or we go, pardon me? I don't speak well. They will not understand me. I'm not strong enough. I'm too old. Perhaps I'm too young. God can use the younger and the stronger. So, I've got news for you. God already knows who you are, everything that you can do, everything that you cannot do. You may insist saying, God can use those who are better than me, who are great public speakers, well-educated. He does not need someone like me who has nothing to give to Him. That's where you get it wrong. When you say, I don't have anything to give to God, that's perfect. Really? Exactly. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, God already has your heart. The only other thing He wants from you is your obedience. Let me say that again. God already has your heart. The only other thing that He wants from you, it's your obedience. He doesn't need nothing else. Okay? He doesn't need your gold and silver. He owns it all. So, give your nothing to God by being obedient to Him. That's what we all need to do. Give your nothing to God by being obedient to Him. From there, leave it with Him, and He will use your life in a way that you will be amazed. Because it's not about you and me. It's not about our lives and what we can give and do for God, but it's Him working through you and me that will make an impact to change this world for His glory. God wants your obedience. Despite the difficult circumstances and all hardship, despite even the lack of faith, Abraham and Moses, they obeyed God. That's what really what they did. As we already know how their story ended, the act of obedience and trust in God, Hebrews tells us there, led Abraham to become the father of a great nation, as God promised to make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. That's in Genesis chapter 15. Abraham's story teaches us that stepping out of our comfort zone and trusting God can lead to incredible blessings and spiritual growth, not only for you, but get this, for people around you as well. Moses also succeeded in bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, again by stepping out of his comfort zone and embracing the role that God had for him. Moses became an instrumental figure in the Old Testament, leading the Israelites through the Red Sea and receiving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Moses' story demonstrates that despite our insecurities and self-doubt, God can use us to accomplish great things when we step out in faith and obedience. But what does that have to do with me today, you may ask? Through these stories in the Bible, God shows you that He always had and always will fulfill His word. Okay? He always had. His word is alive and true. You know that. So, these men, Abraham and Moses, they were flawed men, like us, like you and me. They learned and grew over time, like we can grow. That's what makes their story so good and perfect for us to study. I believe that's also another reason why they are recorded in the Bible. Bit by bit, piece by piece, God made them into the men He wanted them to be. Just like He wants to do with us. He wants to make us men and women according to His desire. Patrick Morley, in his book, How God Makes Man, he says that the reality is that if God didn't work with flawed man, He would not have any to work with at all. Right? I love that. The reality is that if God didn't work with flawed man, He wouldn't have any to work with at all. God will show you how you can believe Him anyway in the face of what seems like an impossible circumstance. to leave your comfortable place where you're safe, where everything seems under control, life's perfect, for an unknown place, to face an unknown future is a supreme test of your faith. What's God calling you to do that makes you say, "Are you kidding me, God? Really? How could that possibly happen?" You know, in a certain way, I'm glad that you would think like that, you'd see like that, because that will remind you that you are a limited being. You are a flawed man, as we saw here. So, but He wants to work through you. Whatever that is, I pray that your answer will be like Abraham's and Moses were. "Here I am, Lord. I want to trust and obey you." Remember, God invites ordinary people to do extraordinary things because He's the one doing it through those people. It's not by mistake that you surrendered your life to God and He saved you to Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. God invites you for a step of faith where you don't know how it will end. I cannot tell you what that is. You only. It's between you and only you and God. You know what God had asked or is asking you to do for Him. It's not for Paulo to tell you what that is. You know, he may use a mule, not a pastor, to tell you what you need to do. But I'm sure that if he's talking with you, he will make it clear. One thing I want to remind you. Cowboy Trail Church was not created by mistake. Was not just a group of people that got together and say, "Let's start a church." Cowboy Trail Church was born first in the heart of God. Amen? He was the one who stirred the waters, moved people's heart, and brought them together to start this church. God wants you all to be together, to stay together, to be obedient and remain faithful to Him, to step out of your comfort zone, and to take a step of faith where you all together will be able to experience the wonders that He will be doing through this church's future, where people's lives will certainly be impacted as He had done in what, 18 years, 19 years now? 19, right? As Abraham and Moses did not know what was going to happen. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen with CTC's future, right? But I want to remind you that in the big picture, we have the assurance and we know that one day Christ will come back victorious to bring us home. The blessing for you and me is that God invites us to participate in His work. And He is inviting Cowboy Trail Church, the Cowboy Trail Church family, to step up in faith, to walk with Him, to bring people to get to know Him personally. That's our task as a church, right? It's to tell people that our God is a personal God and He loves them in such an amazing way. And we need to share that hope with them. And on that note, I want to say, I don't know everyone here tonight. I don't know your everyone's heart, of course. I don't know if you have already surrendered your life to Christ or not. But if you do not have, or you don't understand what a personal relationship with God looks like, or you may be asking, why would I need a relationship with God? So, please reach out. Reach out to us. I know the leadership, Pastor DK, that's always here as well. So, we'd love to help you to understand how God loves you and how He gave His Son to die on your place. So your sins would be forgiven and you would have your relationship, personal relationship with Him restored. And you cannot have that relationship by any other way. Okay? A well-known evangelist named Billy Graham said, "I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." Amen? As we surrender our future to God, Cowboy Trail Church futures in the hands of God. We trust Him, you know, we trust to obey Him and see what He'll be doing through this church's life. I'll paraphrase here what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. So we, as a Cowboy Trail Church family, are confident on this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the church says, Amen. So let's pray. Father God, you know each heart here tonight, Lord. You know each mind. Father, you know their desire to serve and obey you. Father God, and I ask you, Lord, to speak to each one of them, Lord. Whatever you want from them, Father God, to continue to work in your church, Lord, to continue to sustain you and keep your church here, Father, that you will. Father God, that there will be no doubt, Lord, around this family, that you are the one, Lord, leading this church and its future, Father. We praise your name and thank you, Lord, for 19 years of Cowboy Trail Church. Father God, we thank you for all the lives that were impacted here for eternity, Lord. And we want to continue to see, Lord, Cowboy Trail Church serving you, Father, in the way that you have asked them to serve. Please, Father, be with our brothers and sisters here and encourage each one of them. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So, next week, as I was invited to preach again here, we'll take a look on the life of another Bible character named Peter. So, and Peter he went through some circumstances that reflect exactly what you guys are going here as a church family. So we'll see what God has in storage for us then. Okay? You guys have a blessed night. Thank you.